Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready today, we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I simply entitled this, Grow Up, Follower of Christ, Part 1. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study. But it just means it refers to a fish hook or a trap. It actually means to deliberately attempt to mislead, trick, or snare with bait. That's what deceit is. And so somebody who has malice and who's gossiping, they're sowing seeds of discord everywhere they go. And it's a sin. And it's a major problem that happens in the church today. And what they do is when they do this, they're desiring to gain an advantage or a position by deceiving the other person. Again, it's a work of the flesh. It's not from the Spirit. And see, Peter is talking to Christians, new believers, and he's saying, look, these were Jews that lost everything. And Peter's speaking to them and saying, look, you got to put this sin away. You can't treat your brother as, like they were being treated badly by the people that, because they were exiled. They're in Turkey. And if any of us went to any of these Middle Eastern countries, you would be treated badly too because you're a Christian. And so it's very practical when we read the Word of God to see that like this stuff happens today. They're trying to actually gain an advantage. And Jesus dealt with this through the chief priest in Matthew chapter 26, verses 3 through 5. Then the chief priest and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, let there be an uproar among the people. So they take time to make sure they can find things that they can charge him, and they're deceitful. They're a bait and switch. And these were men of God. I want to make sure you catch that. So you will have people that will come and sit in chairs at church and treat their businesses and their people very deceitful. They're not honest. Because we see here in Scripture that these were religious men who claimed God, who claimed they knew God. Theology. They had the fat diet. They were fat on the Word of God, but they didn't live it. And they were very deceitful. Saul dealt with it as well when he was Saul before he became Paul. In Acts chapter 13, verses 8, it says, but Elymas, the magician, for that meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn proconsul away from them, from the faith. But Saul, who also called Paul, filled, and this is how you have to deal with it. If you're going to confront somebody, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why when you come to a pastor and you have something that's going on, I'm praying because I'm asking the Holy Spirit to, one, soften the heart of the other person that's being deceitful. Convict them. And for you, who is going to go talk to them, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to speak through the Holy Spirit gives you to speak. And filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, you son of, man, I would love to do this one day. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and all villainy, will you not stop making crooked the paths of, crooked and the straight paths of the Lord? He's like, look, I am here sharing the gospel of the faith, and you're tricking people. You're being deceitful and leading them away from God.
And let me tell you something. When you're lying, you're leading people away from God. If you claim to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you're being deceitful, and you'll lie on your taxes, I better go hide behind the curtain, because some of y'all are already like, man, I need an extra credit, right? You'll falsify documents. I had somebody recently do that to me. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing like being a board member and somebody falsifying, saying that you said something. And nothing was done. Guess what? Doesn't matter. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. You know, I love my brothers and sisters, and at the end of the day, it's like, hey, I love them enough to pray for them and ask the Lord to go ahead and bring judgment if he needs to. It's not my judgment. God just revealing in their heart that they need to repent. But they're pulling shady deals and bribing people and lying. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I don't know if I should say this one. I may get in trouble. Teresa may call me this afternoon. Oh, if you lie about your age, you're being deceitful. See, we think these things are, oh, they're just little white lies. No. All deceit, relational sins, it causes problems with brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what you're doing when you're being deceitful? You're destroying your testimony, your character, your integrity. Remember that. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 says, they were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. There's malice again. And then here comes the other one again. They're all full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. And Isaiah chapter 57, verse 4 says, of whom do you make fun? Against whom do you open wide your mouth and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of rebellion, offspring of deceit? Your tongue is full of deceit. And it just goes back to, if I squeeze you, what's going to come out of you? Is it going to be the flesh or the spirit? Then he says hypocrisy. All deceit and hypocrisy. Y'all about ready to quit already? They're like, let's stop, right? Hypocrisy is putting on a mask. I'm sure y'all have heard this before. Back in the day, they used to wear different masks. When somebody was angry, they would put on a mask. The actors would put on a mask of anger. Laughing, they'd put on a mask of a mouth open, smiling like they're laughing. But how many of you put on masks when you walk through the doors of the church? Man, you know, one of the things I learned early on in faith, because when we're guilty of malice and deceit, guess what? You will put on the hypocrisy mask every time. You'll be the hypocrite every time you walk through the door, because you're not dealing with your sin. That mask will stay on you. And so for me, one of the things, I've always been real with y'all. You see my warts, I don't care. All I got, I answer to him. But I would rather you be, my feet are made of clay. I would rather be real with you then sit up here and put a mask on like everything's okay. I've been married 38 years. You don't think you're going to go through, pastor's wife, they're perfect marriage. No, they're not. There's no perfect marriage. You're going to go through speed bumps and roadblocks, and the enemy's trying to do everything he can do to destroy your marriage and your family. And so when you come through the doors, if you need prayer, ask for prayer. Don't come in with the mask on and you, oh man, everything's great. God bless you, brother. And then you out the door and you're a train wreck. Hypocrisy. It's the biggest problem that we have in the church is hypocrisy. And it affects the world, because the world goes, hypocrites. Although they're hypocrites too. I mean, let's be real. I mean, we're all, you know, there's not a perfect church, right? But what did Jesus say in Matthew 23, verses 29 through 36? Woe to you, scribes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. This is the last sermon that Jesus preaches. And he calls the religious leaders hypocrites. Stop putting the mask on like you got everything together. Stop acting like you got all the theology. You're throwing out scripture and you're throwing out all this stuff to make it look like you're good to go, and you're a train wreck. Deal with your mess. You're a new creation in Christ. Well, I don't want to have to deal with that stuff. That's the problem. That's why you're not growing. That's why you got into it with that brother, and you got into it with that sister, and it's like you're just relational sin. You're hurting each other. And then what do? I'm leaving the church. And you go to a new church, and you do it all over again. because you're not dealing with you. God's trying to deal with the person in the mirror. You can put the blame on everybody else, but God's dealing with the person in the mirror. He's not dealing with your wife. He's dealing with you. Like, you can sit, my husband's a mess, and blah, blah, blah. Look in the mirror. You married him. What does that say about you? I always feel bad when my wife is like, man. But hey, at the end of the day, like, God's dealing with the person in the mirror. And so when we read this scripture, it's not for us to go, ha, that person needs, I can't wait to get home and I'm going to put that on social media and boom, and I'm tagging that person, right? Love you. And it's like, no, not doing all that, right? But he tells us, Jesus in his last sermon says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken with them the shedding of the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourself that your sons of those who are murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, whom you will kill and crucify. Some of you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Bechariah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. He's sitting there telling them, like, look, at the end of the day, you were hypocrites. You're telling me that you won't kill the prophets, and yet they're going to crucify Jesus. And the thing is like, what's even worse is when you have hypocrisy with a lukewarm Christian, and there's no growth. And my prayer is like I read Revelation 3:15. It says, I know your works are neither cold nor hot. Would that you either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He's like, I'm going to just, you're powdered milk, bro. That's what you're feeding yourself, is fake milk. Anybody grew up on that stuff? Am I the only one? Am I the only poor kid that would, I mean, come on, man. Powdered milk, bro. Looks like milk, tastes like water. You're feeding yourself powdered milk. You become lukewarm. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, it says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as they are with branding irons. And this is happening in our world today. We have people that have had their minds seared with the hypocrisy of lies. They're following things they shouldn't follow. And we understand that the Word of God, the truth, is inerrant and doesn't need to be. I don't need to tickle your ears. I don't need to have fancy, oh, we're going to do a series on love or whatever. It's, you can read the Bible. 1 Corinthians, bro. We'll get to it when we get to chapter 13. But we got to deal with all the other mess first. Right? That's why we don't do that. It's the Word of God. That's why I love that song, Word of God Speak, Let It Fall Down Like Rain. That's what we need in our lives. But see, what happens is, again, with these relational sins, is you allow these relational sins to happen, and they start clogging up the arteries of your spiritual growth. You're not growing because your arteries are all clogged up with stuff that is not from God. It's relational sin. The last one he has, we got two more. This is why it's part two. Envy. Woo. Envy. Ever want something that somebody else has? A title, money, a house, a car, and you get envious? Or how come, I'll give you one. Pastors. Well, how big's your church? You don't count your people? No, I don't count the people. As long as I have one person to teach to, praise God. Right? But you go to a leaders conference, oh, that's when you see the envy start to come out. You ever go to somebody and they have sound equipment and you go, ooh, man, it'd be nice to have that. Be nice to have a camera that be mounted. Be nice not to be in a Harley shop, right? And you start envying the other person's stuff. We do this. And he's telling us, like, all this stuff has to go because it creates division and strife. It creates jealousy. And so we have to be very careful, and this goes back to the original sin in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 6. It's that, but the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that if you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. She was envious and wanted to be like God. And when we look at this, it's like we can be envious and deal with these things. Pilate even saw it with the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. And Matthew 27:18, he says, "For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up." Why? Because Jesus was teaching. Jesus had all these followers. Jesus was going in on the triumphal entry and Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, over 2 million people worshiping him. And the chief priests had none of that. And they were envious. And even a non-believer, Pilate, a Gentile, goes, "Hey, envious." And he calls out the religious. So don't think that your stuff can't be seen by the world. They know when you're being envious. They know when you're being malicious. They see it. You're not hiding it. It's your flesh, and it stinks. Again, you're digging up the old body, and Peter's saying all this stuff, all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and lastly, all slander. Slander in the Greek actually means that you're defaming another brother by backbiting. And backbiting actually means to tear the flesh off the person. It's malicious. Slander and malice work together along with envy. All these things kind of work together, if you notice, because they're relational sins. And so, you know, this is one of the things that we see is like, when we have the Word of God in us, we don't go to slander our brother or sister in Christ. He tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, "Judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measures you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Very important that he's telling you, like, hey, like, you can't even deal with them until you deal with your stuff. Because if you're angry with them, you need to give that over to God first. Like, "Lord, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I'm getting angry." Right? That's why men have punching bags. And we get, "Oh, man, I'm going to go hit the punching bag," right? You get angry. You start lifting weights, or you do all that stuff, but it's like God's saying, "Give that over to me." And then you can go deal with your brother or sister in Christ. Because he's like, "You got this big log, and you're running around, you're doing other stuff. Man, you're doing this, and that you can't even see. You're trying to point out everybody's stuff, and it's like, you need to deal with you, me. Trust me, I have to, man, it's..." I had this verse this week. It was beating me up left and right. And I love that because it's application. We have to apply it in our own lives. It's for us. I can't ask you to do something that I'm not doing. James chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges a brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Now, it doesn't mean that you will not have to go and confront your brother or sister in Christ. If they are in sin, then you have to. If they don't do anything with it, you're supposed to take another brother or sister with you, depending on what's going on. And normally when I tell you to bring somebody, you need to bring somebody who's godly. Somebody you trust their wisdom, right? Who doesn't have a side in it. Whose side are you supposed to be on? Not yours. God's. Right? That's the hard part. And if that don't work, then you come see the pastor. And I'm going to give you one chance to repent, and then I'm going to show you the door. And I have to give you over to the devil with the hope that that the world's going to push you to your knees and bring you to a place of repentance. We don't practice this in the church. Why? This is a problem. That's why we have so many hypocrites in the church, because we're not actually applying the things that are in the Word of God that Paul wrote about. He's like, if this happens, that's how you deal with it. Because they had major mess in the church of Corinth. So where are you at with your relational sin? This is our application. We'll end here. Is there any of these that you need to ask for forgiveness? Now, remember what we read at the very beginning in that psalm, "Search My Heart." Will you actually pray that this afternoon? That's your homework. Ask God to search your heart. If there's something there, then you and God just deal with it. This is part of application. Ask the Lord to help you with it. If you need to repent, repent of it. What diet are you on? Are you just consuming the bad diet, the things of the world, and not the Word? You're being guided and directed by the world. You're not growing. Are you on the fat diet? And what I mean by that is you're just consuming the theology of the Bible, but you're not applying the Word of God in your life. There's no Spirit leading you. You're leading yourself. In the best way you know this is happening is if your family's a train wreck, your marriage is a train wreck, but you can sit and speak on premillennialism, whoop-de-doo. Doesn't help you. That's what God's called you to do. You're in a covenant with the Lord, with your wife, and those are your wonderful kids that God has blessed you with. Lead them. And you can't do that without being in the Word of God. Are you in the fasting diet? Are you so busy that you ain't got time for the Word? But I'm doing things for the church. Stop doing them. I would rather you stop, because you're doing them in your flesh. But pastor, I don't need it that bad, because you're just going to cause problems with another brother or sister, because eventually your flesh will come out. It will happen. Are you on the proper diet? And the proper diet is what we'll get into next week as we look at the pure spiritual milk, right? We need to be in the Word of God. That's what we're going to focus on next week as we talk about the pure spiritual milk. We'll talk about the only way that you can grow up is by being in the living and abiding and eternal Word of God that's inerrant, that's without error. There's nothing that needs to be added to it or taken away from it, and you need to be in it. If you are a child of God, you need to be in the Word of God, period. Well, I can't read. Listen to it. There's so much stuff out here for us. There's no excuse. No excuse. And so we need to grow up. But we need to grow up in Christ. If we're to be obedient, what did Peter tell us at the very beginning of 1 Peter? Be obedient in who? Christ. And then he told you to do what? Be obedient in the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus. Who is the Logos? Jesus. He's the Word. He's the living and abiding Word of God. He's eternal. So you want to hear from God? Get in His Word. Spend time in His Word. And if you have any of these relational sins, that's your homework tonight. Just get quiet with God and read that psalm. Search my heart, O Lord. If there's any ways that are not from you, Lord, reveal them. And actually, before you get into the Word of God, that's probably a great psalm to read, because it's a great prayer. Because you want God to show you, and you're in His Word, and you're asking Him to search your heart so you can actually apply it. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't come in here with your mask on. If things are not great, man, things ain't great. Be just be straight up and real. You don't have to go tell everybody, but you should have one brother or sister in Christ that you know if you came to them, they would pray with you. And they would give you godly counsel and wisdom. And even discernment. Church is, again, living stone. We're all built on the chief cornerstone, but we're stacked on each other, side to side to each other, like God is using us together. And that's why this loving one another is so important. And I don't care. I don't care if I have 10 people in the church. As long as you're growing. As long as you're growing, you're maturing in Christ. That's the whole purpose of church. It's not to get a bigger building. It's not to get 300 or more people in the building. I can have 300 hypocrites in the building. I can take those 10 believers and do more than those 300 hypocrites. Seriously. So grow up.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.